And I'm sorry I haven't a clue, the antidote to panel games. At the piano is Colin Sell, and your chairman is Jack D.
Hello, and welcome to I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue. You join us this week for a second visit to the historic city of Nottingham. Known as the Gateway to Leicester. The leader of the English Reformation, Archbishop Thomas Cranmer, lived in Nottingham Castle until 1556 when he was burnt at the stake. It's recorded that in defiance of his persecutors as they prepared to put him on the pyre, Cranmer deliberately thrust his own hand into the flames. His last words are recorded as, "Lord, receive my spirit. I see the heavens open," and, ooh, that smarts. The following day, a freezing cold Sunday morning, Cranmer's ashes were carried to his parish church to be scattered before the congregation as the path was icy. It was the evil King John who built Nottingham Castle. He died in 1216 of dysentery while visiting the Royal Oak Inn in Newark. And that's one of their better reviews in that year's Michelin Guide. Nottingham is a vibrant university town with its own student radio, University Radio Nottingham, where popular local DJ Ray Webb presents the students' breakfast show between 2 and 3 p.m. Nottingham's twin towns include Ljubljana, the capital of Slovenia. During a goodwill visit in July 1991, the twinning panel became trapped in their hotel, pinned down by small arms fire. The terrified Slovenians said they wish they'd never come here. Nottingham boasts a proud theatrical history. In the 1920s, the Music Hall of Varieties was established as one of the greatest entertainment venues in the Midlands. However, the popularity of music halls soon declined, and what must life become for fading performers when their tired routines have gone out of fashion? Let's find out. On my left, Barry Cryan and Graham Garden. And on my right, Tim Taylor and Marcus Brigstock. And placing her comfortable seat in the best position to enjoy the action, please welcome our scorer, the ever delightful Samantha. Okay, we kick off today with a round called Uxbridge English Dictionary. The English language has many terms which appear to be interchangeable, but this isn't always true. For example, a lot of people don't know the difference between pointed and angular. Well, pointed means ending in a point or sharp projections, such as a pencil tip or having sharp corners like an isosceles triangle, whereas angular is that nice lady who runs Germany. The words are constantly changing their meanings, team, so I'd like you to share with us any new definitions you may have spotted recently. Tim, you can start.
Interlude, a mucky person.
Graham?
Cardiology, the study of knitwear.
Barry?
Jigsaw, how you feel after Irish dancing.
Marcus?
Delivery, the outfits of the palace staff, innit?
Caustic. Good heavens, a twig.
Geranium. What florists shout when they jump out of a plane.
Oxymoron. 8 members of the BNP.
Bouffant. To heckle a typeface.
Margate, TV celebrity scandal.
Uh,
convince to fool a Lib Dem.
Hairspray, incontinent German.
Icicle, a small bike made by Apple.
Well, the teams are going to sing along with some well-known discs now in the round called Pick Up Song. Samantha is back at the turntable and ready to give the discs a spin. You should sing along, teams, until at my signal Samantha turns the volume down. If, when the music returns, you're within a gnat's crotchet of the original, I'll be awarding points. And points failures mean delays at crew. What do points mean? This week's prize is sure to delight every atheist DIY enthusiast who likes to use high-quality power tools. It's this professional cordless secular saw. So, Graham, you're to start, and I'd like you to accompany T-Rex singing I Love to Boogie.
We love to boogie on Saturday nights. Melinda Mayfender's got a Cadillac bone. Jenny lost that cherry walking all the way home. The passions of the earth blasted its mind. Now it's neat, sweet, ready for the moon-based grind. We love to boogie. We love to boogie on a Saturday night. I said we love to boogie. We love to boogie. High school boogie. Jitterbug boogie. We love to boogie. Oh.
You're next, Tim. I'd like you to accompany Adam Faith singing What Do You Want?
Papa, what do you want if you don't want money? What do you want if you don't want gold? Say what you want and I'll give it your darling. Wish you wanted my love, baby. What do you want if you don't want ermine? What do you want if you don't want pearls? Say what you want and I'll give it your darling. Wish you wanted my love, baby. Well, I'm offering you this heart of mine, but all you do is play it cool. What do you want, oh boy? You're making a fool of me.
So it's you now, Barry. Would you accompany Lonnie Donegan singing Cumberland Gap?
No chance. Cumberland Gap, 15 miles on the Cumberland Gap. Well, the Cumberland Gap ain't nowhere, 15 miles from Middlesbrough. Cumberland Gap ain't nowhere, 15 miles from Middlesbrough. Cumberland Gap, 15 miles on the Cumberland Gap. Cumberland Gap, 15 miles on the Cumberland.
I knew some of you would clap along to that. And I saw the coach pull up. And finally, Marcus, could you please accompany Shaggy singing Mr. Bombastic?
Mr. Bombastic! We order some bombastic, romantic, fantastic lover.
Shaggy! Miss-a-lover-lover. 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 She called me Miss-a-bombastic. See me fantastic. Touch me on me butt, she say I'm Mr. Rule. Oh, romantic. Call me fantastic. Touch me on my butt, she say I'm Mr. Rule. smooth, just like a silk. Soft and cuddly, hug me up like a quilt. I'm a lyrical lover, take me for no filt. Me sexual physique, jammy, no way well built. Oh me, oh my, well, well, can't you tell? I'm just like a turtle crawling out of my shell. Girl, you captivate my body, put me under a spell. With your kiss, goose perfume, I love your sweet smell. You're the only young girl who can ring my bell. And I can take rejection, tell you that we're gonna have
Well done, Marcus. Absolutely remarkable. And, of course, what listeners at home missed out on was seeing Barry spinning on his head.
Can somebody help him up?
It's the best Jimmy Savile I've ever heard.
The next round involves the cult of celebrity. It's become the habit recently for many tired old shows to bring a well-known celebrity into the cast to try to revive the format with their reflected glory. What's that you say, sweet? No, I am. I'm going to tell the nice people how the game is played. All right, calm down, calm down. Throttle Graham, that's not very nice. Okay, so the object of this game is to identify celebrities by listening to their pets. And this week we're looking at celebrities who all own ducks. It's quite surprising how many famous people are duck enthusiasts. The model, novelist and country pursuits enthusiast, Katie Price, breeds classic English mallards. Needing to mate at least a dozen times a day with five or six different partners, it's a wonder she finds time to feed the ducks. Okay, each team member has brought with them a duck with a celebrity owner. Tim, you're to start, and the identity of your duck's owner will shortly be displayed to the audience via the laser display screen. And for listeners at home, here's the mystery voice.
Winston Churchill. Winston Churchill.
So, Tim, would you be good enough to make your duck quack now, please?
Winston Churchill.
Well done, Barry.
Yeah, it's good.
Well, it's your turn, Barry. Now, the identity of your duck's owner is now being exhibited for the audience here. And once again, the mystery voice for listeners at home.
David Frost. David Frost.
And so, Barry, yes, so off you go, please, with your...
Is it Bruce Forsyth?
Hello, good evening and welcome.
You now, Marcus, the name of your duck's owner, being displayed for the audience. And the mystery voice.
Murray Walker. Murray Walker.
Can we please hear your duck, Marcus?
I don't know what it's been eating, I have to say. It's a sort of...
Yes, sort of Dalai Lama.
More excited than the Dalai Lama.
Ah, really very excited.
There's an ooh at the end, a sort of ooh.
It's just the noise the duck makes when he goes round the pond.
Is that a Formula One duck, by any chance?
It is indeed.
Is it Murray Walker?
So finally, Graham, the identity of your duck's owner is now being displayed. And for listeners at home, the mystery voice?
Janet Street Porter. Janet Street Porter.
So... off you go, Graham.
Is it somebody who interrupts a lot? A dogged interrupter. Oh, for Janet Street Porter, shut up!
You all seem rather good at that. Have you any others you want to share with me?
Yeah.
Something to do with the news?
No, it was my duck.
It's very good, actually.
It smells good.
Just
yeah.
Like you.
Yeah.
I got one here.
Duck Vader.
It was Duck Vader, yes, well done. Yeah. The next game is called Cheddar Gorge. We get many inquiries asking how Cheddar Gorge got its name. Well, it's a gorge near the village of Cheddar. And hence the name Cheddar Gorge. Always glad to be of help. The names of parlour games come from various sources. Ludo is the Latin word for I play, and for a while became nearly as popular as quis dat iectare, the Latin for who gives a toss. In this version of Cheddar Gorge, the teams will relate a fairy tale, taking one word each at a time. The object of Cheddar Gorge is never to reach the end of a sentence. Each player will have his own magic word that must be seamlessly included in the story, which is Goldilocks and the Three Bears. So, Graham, your magic word is iPad. Marcus, your word is Brazilian. Tim, the word that you must get in is stethoscope. And Barry, your word is porridge. So, Graham, you can start.
Once
upon
a time, there
was
a
Brazilian
girl
who
loved
to
go
and
seek
bears
in
a
small
forest.
However,
she
didn't
like
her
stethoscope.
Although
she
did
like
her
Brazilian
iPad.
Oh,
porridge.
Said the little
maid
when
she
went
to
the
kitchen
and
found
Goldilocks
eating
some
fresh
Brazilian
porridge.
And
also
she
went
into
the
cupboard
where
she
found
a
bed
which
was
2 feet
to porridge. Nurse,
repetition.
That's the end of that round. Well, we move on to take a look at the world of insults and put-downs. Showbiz critics can be especially cruel. One recently described Barry Cryer as a well-oiled comedy machine, which is absolutely disgraceful. Fancy calling Barry a comedy machine. Okay, so I've brought with me a selection of incomplete insults. Your job, teams, is to finish them. So, Marcus, you could start with this one, please. If I'd wanted to hear from an arse, I'd
have called BT Broadband customer support.
He says I'd have farted, not as good as Marcus's one. Barry, here's one for you. Benjamin Disraeli about William Gladstone. A sophistical rhetorician, inebriated with the exuberance of his own verbosity and gifted with an egotistical imagination that can at all times...
piss you off.
That can at all times command an interminable and inconsistent series of arguments to malign an opponent and to glorify himself.
Very similar to what I say.
Graham, Oscar Wilde one this time. Some cause happiness wherever they go. Others
are complete bastards.
Well, in his own way, that is what he said. He said, some cause happiness wherever they go. Others, whenever they go. Tim, can you complete this one? You're so ugly that when you were born, the midwife...
thought you were a hot water bottle.
The midwife slapped your mother. Here is some for any of you to complete. So any of you have a go at these ones. You know I could have been your dad, but...
your mother said there was a queue.
Very close, in actual fact. It says, you know I could have been your dad, but the guy in front of me had the exact change. Very sensitive, Nottingham, aren't they? That shirt looked better on...
eBay.
On the hanger is the... finally, you're so ugly that if you stuck your head out the car window...
the student protesters would poke you with a stick.
Oh. The one I've got here is they'd arrest you for mooning. So it's music time again with Swanee Kazoo. This is where the teams duet to combine the silky smooth glissando of the Swanee whistle with the grating rasp of the kazoo. Once considered an odd combination, the Swanee whistle and the kazoo now go together as naturally as Ronnie and reggae. Tim and Marcus, you can start, and I'd like you to provide us with a rendition of the Pizzicato Polka from Sylvia to feature Marcus Brigstock on the kazoo and Tim Brooke Taylor on the Swanee whistle.
I entirely forgot that there's a difference between the duck... and the kazoo. Of course, on the radio, it'll simply sound like I had an asthma attack. What I meant, of course, was...
I'd like you to provide us with a rendition of Thank You Very Much to feature Barry Cryer on the kazoo and Graham Garden on the Swanee whistle. Gave up a career in medicine to do that. Earlier this year, France banned the wearing of the burqa. On the first day of the ban, a small group of women protested in Paris by wearing their burqas in public and were immediately arrested. They were duly charged, but when they appeared in court, no one could identify them. So they're found guilty. Well, this kind of civil resistance has become much easier to organise thanks to the use of social networking sites. In Tunisia and Egypt, social networking enabled the largely peaceful revolutions of the Arab Spring to overthrow oppressive regimes. And similarly, I've been following a Twitter thread called In My Pants. It's a brilliant piece of social satire based on the frequent use of the words in my pants. So, teams, I'd like you to suggest film, TV and radio titles to see if any can indeed be improved by the addition of the words in my pants. Graham, you can start.
Gone with the Wind, in my pants.
Barry?
Guess Who's Coming to Dinner.
Marcus?
A river runs through it, in my pants.
Tim?
Finding Nemo, in my pants.
The Hunt for Red October.
Have I got news for you?
Rear Window, in my pants.
Hot Fuzz.
It Happened One Night.
127 hours in my pants. Poor chap had to cut his arm off in the end.
Just a minute in my pants.
Who do you think you are?
Oranges are not the only fruit in my pants.
The Third Man in my pants.
Battle of the Little Bighorn.
The Sound of Music.
Woman's Hour.
Well, it's very nearly the end of the show, but we can't go before we have thought for the day. So off you go, teams. All done?
I haven't finished.
And with those thoughts, it's the end of the show. So from the team, Samantha, myself, and our audience here in Nottingham, goodbye. Goodbye.
Barry Cryer, Graham Garden, Tim Brooke Taylor, and Marcus Bridstock were being given silly things to do by Jack Dean, with Colin Sell setting some of them to music. The programme consultant was Ian Pattinson, and the producer was John Naismith.